Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I loved my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. I'm letting go, God.
And welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5. This is WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is February 28th, last day of February 2018. It's 7 o'clock. So if it's not that date and time, then you're listening to a rebroadcast or a podcast. But since it is that time, at least for the first time, I'll give out the phone number so that you might be able to call in and join the conversation. The number is 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. Wombat is not with us tonight. He had a previous engagement, so he's tied up. So I'm going to be talking about just basic atheist concepts and questions that people often ask about atheists, and questions that I've gotten either on the air, online, or in person whenever I tell people that I'm an atheist. Let's see. First of all, I'd like to introduce the show a little more. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist and free-thinking rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville and East Tennessee, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break, which should happen in about half an hour. Also, did you know that there was an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville and has been for 7 years? That's right, and we'll tell you about that too a little later on. Also, in spite of what Steve Martin would have you think, there are an awful lot of atheist songs out there, and we play them on this show and generally on this station as they are in rotation. The intro song itself was from Julia Sweeney's one-person show about losing her belief in God. Letting Go of God is what she calls it, and that was the name of the song. So if you get a chance, go online, do a search for Julia Sweeney. You might remember her better as Pat from Saturday Night Live. She's the androgynous person who people are always trying to find out if it was male or female. She'd never give them a clue. Anyway, so getting on with the show, I have a website out there, a blog actually. It's called Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm sorry, Digital Free Thought, period. This is the radio hour. And on that, I have an awful lot of resources from the last, I guess, 6-8 years that I've been putting them on there. I've actually put them into a book called Atheism, What's It All About, which is available out there on Amazon. But I'll be reading some of the text from there, but mainly I'll just be talking about the questions that people ask atheists all the time as soon as they find out that they are atheists. With few exceptions, today's religions are belief systems that were formed thousands of years ago by very ignorant and very superstitious people through no fault of their own. It was just the time that they lived in. There was no scientific method, no formal schooling, and very little critical thought. These are thousands of years ago when people were first starting to congregate into villages and towns, and even before that, obviously. These ancient, pre-literate people made up many elaborate oral traditions to address the basic questions of where did we come from and why are we here, And what is that big bright thing in the sky? And how did it get there? And every culture had their own unique stories to explain them. At that point in our cultural development, we needed explanations to make the world seem more understandable, to help us deal with these questions, even if most of the answers centered around an invisible person who uses incredible unknown processes, i.e. magic, to make it happen. We were still millennia away from even the most rudimentary scientific answers that an average person could understand. A class of witch doctors and shamans arose to take advantage of the willingness of people to believe in these fantastic tales. And before long, priests, oracles, and other divine interpreters found that they could gain higher status, wealth, and political control by perpetuating and expounding on these myths. Since these early priests were no longer toiling in the field or hunting, and they had to make a living, they started demanding offerings and sacrifices, ostensibly to the gods of these stories, but actually to house and field this clerical class. As they grew in power, they began taking action against those who tried to challenge their supernatural explanations and replace them with natural ones. They began systematically silencing the natural philosophers and non-believers, and as time progressed, they actually began killing them in their pogroms and holy wars. These atrocities are still going on in some parts of the world today. Islamic religious teachings tell Muslims that they must kill apostates. Mormons teach church members that certain news and information outlets are off limit and tell families to shun relatives who deny the teachings of Joseph Smith. Southern Baptists tell families to send their children to private parochial schools so that they will not learn about evolution. And how does it continue to be effective after all these centuries? Well, parents pass their beliefs on to their children generation after generation. Christian politicians and government leaders reinforce these beliefs, as do Christian school principals, teachers, and coaches. The child is saturated at home, in church, and at school, especially parochial schools. It is against the constitutionally mandated separation of church and state for public school employees to do this. But many couldn't care less about that. They answer to what they consider a higher power, and so blink at breaking earthly laws. Author Peter Boghossian calls this doxatic closure, the tendency for one's entire belief system to become hardened and resistant to revision. He writes, combined clustering in like-minded communities with church-imposed and internet search-filtered bubbles, then put that on top of a cognitive architecture that predisposes one to belief and favors confirmation bias, then throw in the fact that critical thinking and reasoning require far more intellectual labor than acceptance of simple solutions and platitudes, then liberally sprinkle the virulence of certain belief systems, then infuse with the ideas that holding certain beliefs and using certain processes of reasonings are moral acts, and then lay this entire mixture upon the difficulty of trying to make a living and just get through the day without any time for reflection, and voila, doxatic closure. Atheists believe that the time to leave religion behind is at hand. The human species is quite capable of dealing with the world without mysticism. We can use our rational minds to find the answers that we seek. Science is doing an excellent job of digging them out of nature. And where answers are not to be found from nature itself, philosophy can step in. The study of ethics and morality, after all, fall under the purview of philosophy. Morality is a system through which we determine right and wrong conduct, i.e., the guide to good or right conduct. Ethics is the philosophical study of morality. Together, science, that is, naturalistic reasoning, and philosophy can carry us confidently into the future, and without recourse to supernatural beliefs. Religions can only divide the human race and set us against each other. Moreover, it wastes millions of man hours and billions of dollars that otherwise could be used to improve the human condition. A waste that at this juncture in human history we can start hardly afford. Okay, with that said, let's get on to the questions that most commonly come to atheists when they come out of the closet. If they're being honest, the first question would be, what exactly is an atheist? Well, an atheist, and all it is, just put simply, is a person who does not have a belief in God, who doesn't believe in God. Now, he may not actively believe that there is no God, or that there are no gods. He just doesn't have a belief in God. Now, a lot of people would say, why would you all go all the way to atheism if you don't know if there's a God or not? Why don't you just stop at agnosticism? Well, that's the next question. Why aren't you an agnostic? Agnosticism and atheism address two different things. Atheism or theism, either one, address belief. If you have a belief in God, then you're a theist. If you don't have a belief in God, then you're an atheist. Now, Gnosticism and agnosticism address knowledge or claimed knowledge. If you say that you know that there's a God, okay, you are a Gnostic theist because you both know that there's a God or claim to, and you believe in a God. Now, I personally don't know if there's a God or not. I don't think there are. I don't know of every different kind of God that could possibly exist in a universe. There may be a God out there that we've never heard of. A God that's 1,000, a universe is over in this multiverse. There may actually be a God there, one that created that universe. I don't know. But I don't believe that there are, and that makes me an atheist. So I'm an agnostic atheist. You can be both. Now, next question is, they always ask me, well, why don't you believe in God? Well, the first thing is you have to ask is, which God? Because they're coming from a very narrow standpoint. They believe in a particular God and want to know why you don't. Well, they don't believe in if you're a Christian, you don't believe in the Hindu God. You don't believe in the Mormon gods. You don't believe in, the Islamic God, or at least their definition of that God. There are 1,000 gods you don't believe in. There's only one that you do. So mostly you're an atheist. And what's really funny is the first time that we find the word atheist in literature, as far back as we can find it, it was about 2,000 years ago, or almost 2,000 years ago, and it was used against Christians. The Roman people or the Roman government would claim that Christians were atheists because they didn't believe in the Roman gods. That it's kind of really ironic. Now the Christians are turning around and calling other people atheists. I'm an atheist because I don't believe in God. But it was misused against the Christians because they did believe in a God. But that's just funny. Why don't I believe in God or any gods? Because I don't believe in any of them. Well, first thing, when people bring to me a God definition for their religion, they fail to convince me that he's real. They never bring me any real evidence. And when I talk to Christians and I say that, they say, well, look at the trees, look at the sky, look at the clouds. You know, how did all of that get there? Well, they don't realize it, but they're presupposing the answer before they even ask the question. They presuppose the existence of a God, and then they assign, or their preacher does, or their book does, they assign that God the capacity for creating universes and trees and clouds and gods, and then they point to the trees and clouds and God, and sky, I mean, as evidence that the God exists. I mean, replace the word God with the word leprechauns. You know, how can you say that leprechauns don't exist? They create trees and clouds and sky. I mean, look, there's a tree, there's a cloud, there's the sky. Leprechauns have to be real. It's called begging the question when you assume the answer in your question. Anyway, basically, there is no evidence for God. And if you point to something for evidence for God, I'll have to ask you to fill in the gaps. And to be able to fill in the gaps, you have to be able to prove up front that something, supernatural being exists. And good luck with that one. Then they'll turn around and say, well, prove God doesn't exist. Well, that's called shifting of the burden of proof. And it's up to the person making the claim to prove their claim. In other words, if I told you right now that I could fly, and they said, well, go ahead, and I'll say, I don't feel like it, but I can fly. I wouldn't want to turn around and say, you have to prove I can't fly. You know, that it makes no sense, and it's the irrational shifting of the burden of proof. Preachers come to us, and Christians, and Islamists, and Hindus, and who you just name it. They come to us and say, their God is real. That is, they're making a claim. They're not only making a claim that he's real, but that he created this universe and everything in it, and that he's very interested in everything you do, particularly with your private parts. But they make all these claims without a shred of evidence. And the only thing that they point to in saying to corroborate it is the Bible or the Quran or the Gita Vita or their holy book. But the thing about it is, those books are the things making the claims. They're just repeating the claims that are in that book. You can't point to a book to prove a claim that the book itself is making. If you could, every book would be true. Everything in every book would be true. And we don't have to stop with religious books. We can just say any book. If the book says it's true, then it's true. It's just silly. It's circular reasoning, but nobody seems to, well, no religious person seems to understand that when they point to the Bible or the Quran or whatever as proof of their God or magical beings exist. And remember, it's a lot more than just the God. There's also demons and devils and angels and cherubim and a host of invisible beings that they claim are real and have absolutely no evidence for any of it. And that even gets us back to one more thing that they claim is real and have no evidence for, and that's the soul. There's no evidence that a human soul or any kind of soul exists. I made a meme about this and put it out on the internet. It was the first thing, one claim out of 25 on the meme that they make. I can just start in and say, nobody's ever demonstrated that a soul exists, period. Nobody's ever demonstrated that it contains all of our memories and personality and exists outside of the body or can exist outside of the body. Nobody's ever proven or demonstrated that it will live forever after the person's death, or that it will live at all after the person's death. Nobody's ever demonstrated there are any places for it to go after the person dies. Just on and on and on. There's claim after claim after claim that you've got to buy into pretty much any religion, but most of them just boil it down to God. You got to believe in God. And if you don't, they're just befuddled. And why? Because they've been brainwashed, basically. They've been inoculated and inculcated with these beliefs from their earliest childhood. And we're talking as soon as they are able to hear words and speak. So that's why I don't believe in God. Now, the next question. They say, how can you say that there is no God? I personally feel his power in church. Well, there, people don't realize it, but they're interpreting what they feel. They feel something in church, and the preacher comes over and tells you that's the Holy Spirit. So from then on out, whenever you feel that in church or pretty much anywhere else, you say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you've been told that's the Holy Spirit. And in church, preachers know very well how to manipulate your feelings. Hold on, looks like we got a call.
Hold on. Hello.
Hey, Wombat. Are you available?
Yeah, I just downloaded some more.
Oh, okay.
And let me tell you, I've been listening to the show on my phone while I was heading back home and walking through the door, and I'm both amazed at how good you can rant about souls and stuff. And these are really interesting topics. So I want to throw in some peace of mind if I can. How about it?
Okay, sure. You're on the speakerphone. Do you want to try to call into the regular phone? Let me patch you in.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to call right back.
Okay. And waiting for the wombat. I need to hook this phone up to the board. And then we can get him going like he should be. Hello, wombat. Are you on there?
Hey, what's up? Am I on?
Try it again.
Okay. What's up?
Okay, I'm just on. Need to turn you up a little bit, I guess.
Okay. Just had a long day at work, so
okay,
don't mind me
better.
If I'm a little bit too quiet.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm noticing that you were saying that there was a lot of, there's no proof for soul, there's no proof for cherubs, there's no proof for angels. I want to know something that's kind of like a careful distinction between the two.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, there are a lot of different kinds of, well, there's one thing that atheists all agree on is that we don't believe those things. But the reason why we don't believe could be slightly different, and that slight difference is important. There are some people who don't believe it because they think it's improbable.
Uh-huh.
There are some people who are just waiting for better evidence, though, to present itself for them to be convinced that that's true. And I think I'm in the boat of a person who's withholding. I'm withholding belief, not necessarily because I can control belief, but just because I'm not convinced yet with the amount of evidence that does exist.
Yeah.
For the existence of a soul.
Well, don't you think that's the best approach to have? To withhold belief until evidence presents itself?
I'm not sure if it's the absolute best one, but it's definitely a really reliable sense to have.
Yeah. Well, like
you know,
the great philosopher, Homer Simpson said, if you worship the wrong God, you're just making him madder and madder every time you go to church. So you really should, one, wait for evidence that God exists, and two, you know, make sure that you've chosen the right one, and for both you need evidence. And the thing about it is, even Pascal's wager doesn't tell you that you got to believe in a particular religion. It just says, you know, you have to believe in God. And and I have no problem with people who believe in a deistic God. They don't want to push anything, any agenda on me. They don't want to try to pass legislation or get me to give them money to support a deistic God.
It's really
interesting that
you brought up.
That's the most benign God belief you can have.
Absolutely. I agree with that point. I think it's really interesting that you brought up Pascal's wager, because with the last two religious people that I've spoken with,
uh-huh.
I did a quick little interview session that was really friendly. Part of my street epistemology, you know, hobby that I'm trying to, like, develop.
Yeah.
Where I just talking to people about the beliefs. This guy, the last guy that I spoke to, he said that it's better for him to believe with the possibility that he might be right than to not believe and potentially miss out on being wrong, or even worse, being punished for all of eternity because he never took that one chance. And I repeated those words back to him. He's like, so it's like more of like a chance. Like,
uh-huh.
You're wagering that you'll believe. And he says, yeah, because you have to make a choice. And for me, I hear two things. One, well, with regard to Pascal's wager, like, is that the kind of God that you want to worship? One that only cares about you believing in him because you're trying to win a wager with yourself?
Right. It's called the fire insurance.
Internal distance?
The fire insurance wager.
Fire insurance? Yeah, it's not because you genuinely believe what that God says or any of his tenets. You're just trying to cover your
it's
own,
not a wager,
you know,
for
your butt.
It's not a wager for God's existence. It's a coercive way to get you to believe that God is real.
Right.
It's not that's not
that,
the same
but
thing.
It's one purely based on self-interest.
Right.
Because if there is, it has nothing to do with what that God says. It's with what you want to happen to you.
Well, first,
and is that really the kind of God that you want to worship in the first place? One that that respects that and was willing to reward you based on purely selfish desires?
Yeah.
And, what would you ask?
And further, you cannot, I mean, if you don't believe in God, like I don't believe in God, you think I could turn around and just make myself believe in God? That I could just choose to believe?
That's a good point.
I mean, you can't. You could say you believe, But God would know that you're lying. I mean, if he was real, he'd know you're lying and just trying to get into heaven. And you would basically be calling him either dumb or gullible for believing that you know, what you say is what you believe when you don't.
I think it's a really good point. You really can't choose what you believe. There's just a body of evidence, and you're either convinced that it's true or not. And if you're not convinced, it's really hard to believe it when you're not convinced. They're purely incompatible with each other.
Right.
But there is this really other cool point that that guy said. He said he had to make a choice, and between those two options, that's the one he picked, to believe.
Yeah.
But I say there's more than just those two choices.
Well, yeah.
To believe or not.
They put it down to a false dichotomy when there are thousands of gods and religions out there. They basically just put it down to the god of their society and say, I've got to believe in this god. And they don't really know or realize that they're making that choice and excluding every other god that's ever been worshipped, or even the gods that are out there that we don't know anything about.
The false choices that he's presenting is he either believes in the god or he says he doesn't believe in the god and was willing to, like, sacrifice himself to, like, the flames of eternity and such. There is the third option, which is essentially, like, I'm not convinced yet. I'm waiting for more evidence to come.
It's right.
The undecided position, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, you could totally be, it's premised on the concept of I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a knowledge claim, I know, but let's just put it in this frame of reference. You can either know something, you can not know something, and it's totally fine to not know something.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't know something doesn't mean you're arguing the opposite of something. You're just saying, hey, I don't know if it's A or B. I don't know if a God exists or doesn't exist. My position is I don't know at this point. I'm waiting for more evidence to come. And a lot of people don't think that's a compelling position to have. But in a lot of cases, when you don't have the information to make a conclusive decision on a subject,
you have to withhold a decision. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Is it just an option to pick? It's actually the most optimal choice to pick. And when it comes to, like, a belief in a God, my position is I'm withholding belief because I'm unconvinced with the amount of evidence that comes out.
Right.
The very well might be a God, and I'm open to that if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
The very well may not be a God, and I'm open to that as well.
Yeah.
But until then, I don't have enough evidence to compel myself to believe. Mm-hmm. If you're saying there's a God out there, the burden of evidence is on you to demonstrate that's true.
Right. And the thing about it is, what kind of God would send me to hell forever, you know, torture and all that stuff forever, when he gave me no compelling evidence to believe in him? If there were compelling evidence,
that's weird.
I would believe. Matter of fact, he knows everything. He knows exactly what it would take to get me to believe, even if I don't. But he's not supplying that. But then at the same time, if I react by not believing, I'm going to be sent for hell forever. What kind of a loving God would do something like that?
Well, I can tell you, I'm at my little, you know, workshop factory, and I'm making people every day. And, you know, it's something everybody does. You know, they just make people, you know, during the weekends when they're all knowing and all powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, some of the people don't work out well. Like, you know, they weren't going to work out well, and you just got to throw them in the flames out of all eternity. Sometimes that's just what happens, you know? It's human nature.
Right.
God made us in his own image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said before, we had a show about this. It's kind of a silly thing because if I had a pet dog or I have a pet cat right now, but if I had like a bunch of dogs or cats and they didn't like, you know, worship me like when I walked through the door, if they didn't like absolutely respect me or like follow every rule that I set for them, my level of punishment for them is only like wagging my finger at them and saying bad boy or like at worst a timeout, because I understand that they don't understand what I'm telling them at the level of me being aware of it, because I'm much smarter than they are and I'm much more powerful than they are. So I'm not going to punish them cruelly or permanently or in any horrible fashion, because I am understanding of their limitations as animals and as pets, basically. And a God that would punish a human being, a thinking, sentient human being that has feelings and emotions, you know, take out their internal soul, if such a thing exists, and cause it to suffer in, like, this terrible place with millions of potentially other souls, for all of eternity, that's just, like, a horrendous thing.
Right.
To the point where if hell does exist, I see no concept of even a heaven existing, because there's no way that anyone, in my opinion, that's good enough to enjoy heaven or there's no one who's good enough to get into heaven and be okay with the fact that there are people who didn't get into heaven
right.
and are currently being
punished. Can you imagine you're being a mother, have several children, and one of them didn't make it into heaven? You would think that heaven
right.
would still be a good place for you, that you would be happy for eternity,
no,
knowing that you have a child who's not there and in the other place? Anyway.
Yeah, and if you're a mother who is okay with that, you aren't getting into heaven.
Right.
It's like that perfect catch-22. It's
right.
like, if the hell exists, there's no way a heaven can exist. If the hell it does exist, there's no reason to worship that kind of God.
Right.
And if that's the case, then maybe there isn't let's say there was a hell. That God isn't worth worshiping, because that's a terrible God who's willing to punish people forever. And most likely no one who's worthwhile is going to get into heaven, because only people who can get into heaven and be okay with people suffering in hell are terrible people to begin with.
Right.
And if that's the kind of people that God's putting into heaven, it's not worth worshiping that dude. It's mm-hmm. terrible. It's a lost subject.
Well, I was asking myself questions, or I was phrasing questions that atheists get asked all the time when they come out of the closet, the atheist closet.
Oh, did I throw one at you?
Well,
no,
okay? Not right now, because it's the bottom of the hour and I need to do a station identification and play a song.
This is
WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today's February 28th on 2018. And we're going to take just a few minutes for a song, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the atheist groups and TV show and all that. And give us about 5 minutes. We'll be right back. In the meantime, let me see. Oh, yeah. Shelley Siegel's I Don't Believe in Fairies. And we'll be back in a minute.
Not a train. listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on Wozo 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Hello, this is Larry, Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Larry Rhodes, Doubter 5. On the line we have Wombat. Hello, Wombat. Can you hear me, Wombat? I just wanted to say hi. Let's just mention the atheist groups here in Knoxville. Get your pen out because I'm going to give you the name and the link, and that's be about it for to save some time on this show. First, the Atheist Society of Knoxville, been around for 15 years. You can find them at simply by going to KnoxvilleAtheist.org. That's KnoxvilleAtheist.org. And if you'd like to find the Rationalists of East Tennessee, that's an even easier one. Go to Rationalists.org. That's plural, Rationalists.org, and click on their upcoming events to find out what they're doing. There's a Sunday assembly, which is like a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in God. I don't have their link, but you can Google Sunday assembly, find out more about them if you like church but don't believe anymore. Then there's the Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student. Just Google Secular Student Alliance. And earlier we said we'd mention our TV show. There is a Free Thought TV show that's been going on here in Knox for 7 years, almost 8 years now. Since 2010. It's called Free Thought Forum, and you can see it every Wednesday at 6:30 on Comcast Channel 12, Charter Channel 192, or watching it online at ctvknox.org. And, again, I'll mention this is WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville. And before you came on, we were talking about often asked questions that believers ask atheists once they come out of the atheist closet and declare that they have no religious beliefs. And I was answering my own questions, but since I've got you on here, I think I'll ask you to answer some of these questions.
Great. So I was saying, I want to ask you one question. It didn't seem like possible to me that people could say that there's cosmic justice in the world, or Christians can say that there's justice in the world due to their God existing. Because if a hell exists and there's people in it, I can't imagine anyone who would be able to be cool with that and still go to heaven. Because that's just a place, hell is a place where people are being punished and pain and agony for all of eternity. And I can't imagine anyone who would be okay with that, yet still be good enough to go to heaven. That seems right. Like it baffles me with right. Regard to justice. So, right. So a question I get directed towards me a lot as an atheist is, how do you account for justice in the universe, if it exists at all? What do you think about justice, and do you actually think it exists?
Well, sure. We have a whole system of justice set up in pretty much every society here on the earth. No matter where you go, they have laws and judges and courts and ways of bringing people to justice. Sometimes we don't find the criminals. Sometimes they get away clean. It just happens. That's a bad part of the justice system, to be able to give justice to the innocent as well as the guilty. Sometimes you have to let the innocent go for lack of evidence, and sometimes you prosecute the innocent. And because of some of the evidence is circumstantial and points to them, it's not perfect, but it's really all we have. And to sit back and say, well, God's going to punish him after you die, well, is he? I mean, all you got to do is just ask for forgiveness and you're done. I mean, think of Jeffrey Dahmer. He's a cannibal and a homosexual, and he got caught by our justice system and sent to prison, and there he asked for forgiveness from Jesus, so he went to heaven. If you go to heaven, you can find Jeffrey Dahmer there. I mean, it's not whether or not you believe in God. It's not whether or not you live a good life. It's whether or not you ask Jesus for forgiveness. I mean, that's the whole thing. You can live your entire life doing sin after sin after sin and then get redemption on your deathbed and go to heaven. What's the difference between that and no justice?
I really don't know. What do you think of a Christian that says, since God knows everything and is like the ultimate authority on good and bad, like whatever he does is good. Therefore, yeah. You know, if he sends some people to heaven, that's good. If he sends some people to hell, that's good.
That's the religious line. I don't buy it. It's just, you can't just speak good into existence because in this world there is harm. I mean, when your actions either do harm or no harm to somebody, and then they could actually benefit that person. We have to go by what harm people cause to each other. If you use that as a level of morality and then use your human compassion and empathy, it'll take you an awful long way toward a good moral system rather than just following some rules in a rule book that an invisible magic man has laid down technically thousands of years ago that may or may not be in good stead for the particular environment that you're following the rule. Like one of the examples is let's say you lived in Nazi Germany. And you have answered the door, and there's a Jewish family, and they want to be hidden, and you hide them, and then you know an hour later the Nazi SS comes to your door and says, "Are you hiding anybody?" And what are you going to do? Not lie, because the good book says don't lie ever, never. Mm. You say, you know, no. That would cause an awful lot of harm to those people. It would be the end of that family. They would send them off to the gas chambers. But if you lie because of the situation. Where you've used harm as a measuring stick, and you also use human empathy and compassion, you generally will not go too far from doing the good thing or the right thing.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I guess my last point then: don't we already have a justice system that's founded on Christian morals and sayings?
Sorry,
like all of our
that's what they tell you. That's what they tell you because they want you to believe that so that you'll be part of their religion. No, it's not founded on Christianity. Morals predate Christianity by thousands of years. Even Confucius said, "Do not do unto others that which you wouldn't have them do to you," which was a kind of a reversal. When Jesus came around, he reversed that and said, "Do unto others what you would have them do unto you." There was the Code of Hammurabi way before any of that. There were stories, and tales that people would pass down from family to family that would relate morals and how to act from generation to generation. Some people think that we didn't have any morals until the Ten Commandments got passed down, or Jesus' Sermon on the Mount.
I've met them.
Yeah. There was a lady on a TV show, I can't remember now which one it was, but she actually said on the TV show, it's like The View, it was The View, and she said on the TV show, they were talking about people who lived before Jesus, and she said, well, there were no people before Jesus. I mean, she thought the world was like 2,000 years old, and there would be no people on the earth before Jesus lived. I mean,
so I think my mom actually does believe that, and if you had asked me 8 years ago or something like that, what morals existed before the Bible, I would have probably also told you there weren't any.
No, I'm talking people. I'm not talking morals. I'm talking people. She didn't believe there was any people on the earth before Jesus lived.
Oh, not even Old Testament?
Right. I don't know what she was thinking, but she said that on the air. Oprah said, no, it was a Whoopi Goldberg said, but you know there were people before Jesus. She said, no, there weren't. They were trying to talk her out of it. They were kind of embarrassed for her.
Oh, yeah, it's that one crazy. I know what you're talking about. I know what clip you're talking about.
Yeah.
The View has some weird people on it.
Yeah. Well, she was a regular. She was on the staff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just a guest.
Yeah. I think Whoopi Goldberg and Barbara Walters, maybe, are the only two people who have conversations on the show, and they just bring in other people for flavors.
Yeah. Anyway, so do I get to ask you questions
great.
Now?
Thanks for answering my question. Yeah, you did great. You did great. Thank you, man.
Oh, sure.
All right, I'm all ready.
All right. If you don't believe in God, then what is the point of living?
what is the point of living for me?
Yeah, that's what you as an atheist.
You know, one of my best things is I have all the freedom in the world to dictate what my meaning in life is.
Mm-hmm.
I can ascribe meaning to things that I want to do, places I want to go, talents I want to learn, subjects I want to master.
Uh-huh.
There's so much things that are available to me, and I have a whole lifetime to do it in. And I can't think of any greater opportunity than the one that I have in front of me to learn, get better, love people, laugh at jokes that I've never heard about, and just live. The point of my life is to live.
Right.
And the way I find meaning in life is to setting these like really high standards of personal growth and meeting them through social interactions, through intellectual pursuits, through creative tasks, through innovating, by making the world a nicer place to be in every day. I try to wake up, and I'm succeeding in it. And it's just a really, really great way to actualize myself.
But doesn't being an atheist cheapen life?
No, because now I know that everything that I do is on me. My responsibilities don't fall on what a God has prescribed for me in my lifetime. I am the dictator of my own fate. I decide how I'm going to treat people. And the consequences of my actions are all my fault, which means that it's even more important now that I treat other people the way they need to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Not because some guy in the past said it. It's because I realize that my actions have consequences, and I want to have the most positive consequences in the world as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I've decided that on my own. Without any reward, without any carrot on a stick, just because I realize that being good is good in its own right, and it's worthwhile to do so. That's why I'm out here doing things like, you know, helping people, teaching classes, volunteering. I have a job where I'm breaking down chemical weapons and making the world a more peaceful place. I'm doing things that I haven't done, that if I believed in a God, I would have to prescribe to him all these great blessings in my life. But
right.
I'm doing this on my own right. And even though I know I'm not going to get reward for it, it's just so much more rewarding in its own right, just knowing that I've done it myself.
Yeah. Well, what gets me is that when they ask me, and when I've heard this question before, doesn't being an atheist cheapen life? It's followed up almost immediately with, why don't you just kill yourself? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This is the only life I got. I am not going
to
cut this short. You may think you can live forever, but I know I will not live forever. So that makes my life ultimately more worthy. It's knowing that it's short and that I have very little of it. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm certainly not going to cut it short. And
you
if
know,
you think about it, having eternal life, having never ending it, to me that would cheapen life. I mean, what's the use of having a life if it never ends ever? You know, that would suck.
Yeah, eternal life would actually really, really be terrible. I gotta be honest with you. I think my life does have value because of the fact that I know that it's temporary and I wanna make the most of it every day.
Yeah.
You know,
like what would you do different for your 10 trillionth birthday?
There's nothing. I would try to find new ways to die. But I would say this. I would flip the question around, like, why don't you just kill yourself for a Christian who believes that they're going to have everlasting paradise?
Oh, yeah, of course. They've got that loophole sewed up. You know, you can't kill yourself. One of their teachings. You know, if you kill yourself, that's murder. You go to hell. So you can't.
Well, what if you killed other people and then just asked for forgiveness? Like, both of you guys?
Yeah,
like, if you
sit well,
far away apart.
There's an example of that. I've talked about Andrea Yates before. The church that she belonged to believed that if they die as children, they automatically get a free pass and go to heaven. But if they grow up and they live a life of sin and they don't repent, then they can go to hell. Well, she took them literally, as she is expected to do, and she drowned her five children because of that, because she was so afraid of hell. And that is the structure that she built her mental illness on. I'm not saying she wasn't mentally ill for doing it, but that was the path that the religion gave her to save her children. And she took that path.
And you know, anyone who followed that, you know, dogma to the T as she did would do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Like, well, I'm sure she thought that
she
could ask for forgiveness and join them in heaven. Yeah.
Right.
The loophole. Okay, so since you don't believe in God and all that other stuff, what do you believe? What do atheists believe?
Believe it or not, we believe the exact same thing. I would say we believe 99.99999% the same thing. We only disagree on one question, which is whether or not a God exists. But aside from that, we still believe in family. We still believe in love. Mm-hmm. We still believe that Justin Timberlake hasn't made a good song since he was an instinct. We believe in creativity, having fun with each other, family, social lives, anything. Because there's let me tell you, I'm only one kind of atheist. There are a lot of other people who claim to be atheists who are completely different from me and have a variety of different likes, dislikes, and that's just the same as all the people who believe in a God who are also very different. The bottom line is, we're all human, and the only thing that separates between a theist or someone who claims to be religious and someone who's not, like me, is just the question of whether you believe or are you convinced that a God exists. And for one people, their standard of evidence is low enough that they can say yes. For others, it's higher, and they have to say no. And that's totally fine. In fact, we can still get along. We can still have friends. One of my best friends is a Muslim. We get along like brother and sister. Cool. There's nothing separating us as far as animosity goes. What really is just a couple thousand years of baggage that religious rites have put on labels that we use to identify ourselves, which is, you know, atheists, non-spiritual, heathens, pagans, things like that. We're seen as outsiders. We're seen as people who are inherently evil. We're seen as people who are empty inside.
And why are we seen that way? Because they've been raised.
Angry.
They've been raised and told from their earliest childhood that non-believers are bad people.
Right.
Can't do no good.
Don't trust these people when they tell you things.
Right.
And it's frustrating on our part, so you'll definitely see a lot of frustrated people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a lot of love that comes from that frustration, because we want people to just be able to add more brain power to the solution of, can we figure out if there's a God or not? Rather than automatically believing one exists, let's try to, you know, free some of those minds up so they can critically assess their own beliefs and determine whether or not there's any validity to them. Because if there is, we would like to know it. We would just want to have that being held to a higher standard of evidence than the one that says, believe whatever your holy book says.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's someone out there who can be challenged, you know, who can challenge their faith and in a testable, reliable way and come to a conclusion that what they believe is actually true, even as an atheist, I want to know about it. I want to know, like, hey, I want to know true things. And if your thing is true, if you are actually in contact with a God, that's information that the whole world can benefit from. But if you can't present that in a testable way, why should anyone be as confident in it as you, including yourself? And I think that's an honest question that anyone should be able to ask themselves.
Right.
And we just wish that more people were willing to do that.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, let me ask you another question. This was one that I get occasionally. Like, you know, Christians, if they feel like they've wronged another person or done something bad, they can always ask God for forgiveness. We can't go to Jesus for forgiveness. So what do you do? What do you do if you feel like you've done something wrong and you can't go to Jesus?
Well, I feel really bad. And if it's something that if it's someone I really hurt or if it's someone that I'm really cross, I'll go to them and seek forgiveness.
Exactly.
You know, I've done that on a multiple occasions. Hey, you know, I know something crazy. I don't know if it's a short story, but I'm driving to work today, and I'm going there in the dark because I drive to work pretty early in the morning, and there's a note on my car underneath the windshield wipers, and I'm freaking out because I'm thinking someone hit my car. I don't have no idea what's going on. And finally, I get to work, and it's a piece of note that says, you parked in the wrong spot. Turns out I got home so late the night before that I just parked in someone else's spot that looked identical to mine. I mixed up two numbers, and he left the note. And I was compelled to find whoever left me that note and apologize to him because I couldn't imagine how frustrating that must have been for him when he came home.
Right.
I couldn't find the guy, and it was a small slight, and I made sure to park in my spot. But I took that as something that I needed to fix. I didn't apologize to God for it.
And I'd like to turn that around, too, and I say, okay, Mr. Christian, let's say that you wronged somebody else and you went to your preacher and you got forgiveness. What does that do for the other person, the person that you've wronged? You feel better.
Right.
The preacher probably feels better that you went to him. But you've actually wronged a person, haven't done anything to redress his problem that you caused. You have totally put him out of the equation, like he's less than a person.
Right. Not only that, but you fail to have an opportunity to grow as a person. For me, that example that I gave, I exhibited corrective behavior. The next time I park, I'll be more careful to park in the right spot. I'll be more aware and diligent with that. And that makes me a better person overall. Makes me a better person than I was yesterday. Being able to admit that you're wrong and try to seek a way to improve does that.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, if there's something bad that I did, let me go apologize to my super friend. And then he will forgive me, and I can continue moseying on doing the same thing I've always done.
Right.
That's cheating yourself of growth and making you more dependent on someone you don't need to be dependent on.
Right. Okay, we got one more minute, then I'll take a minute, and then we'll close out. So what's your last word?
Okay. Oh, listen, I'm sorry for coming in late. I got this new work schedule where I'll be rotating, but I'm going to try whenever I have an opportunity to be on the show, and I should be good for next week. So see you guys
then. Okay, well, real good. And this is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. My name is Doubter5, Larry Rhodes. And as usual, I'll just tell everybody, don't worry about hell, because everybody's going to somebody else's hell. Every other religion has a hell, pretty much. And if you're not part of that religion, you're going to their hell. So don't feel so smug. And this is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. We're signing out for this week. We'll see you next week. Say bye, Wombat.
Bye, Wombat.
And bye, Doubter5. And we'll see you then. Bye. Oops. I think I hit the wrong one. There it is. The outro.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.